When U.S. federal agencies need to deploy a new software application or information system, they must first ensure it complies with a comprehensive set of government-approved security standards and ultimately get assigned ATO or authorization to operate. That process, though, can be cumbersome and it makes it hard to introduce IT capabilities at an agile speed. I'm Wyatt Cash with Scoop News Group, and here to talk about the concept of agile ATOs and why they are increasingly important to moving faster in government are Dave Raley, CX Digital Program Manager with the Marine Corps Community Services, and Ryan Pratt, Chief Executive Officer with Raven Solutions. And this edition of the Daily Scoop is brought to you by AWS. Gentlemen, welcome. Thank you for joining us. And Ryan, I'd like to start with you. Can you explain what the Agile ATO process is and how it differs from the historical process?
Yeah, that's a good place to start. So the Agile ATO process really defines a standard operating procedure for the risk management framework. And it does this at the tactical and execution level, so really four programs. So ultimately, it drives improved outcomes through automation and process improvement, reducing complexity, resources, cost, and time. And it focuses on the entire end-to-end value stream to realize consistent and predictable performance improvements to reduce the typical 12 to 18 month ATO process delivery cycle that DoD components usually face.
And then Dave, how does the Agile ATO process enhance the mission at the U.S. Marine Corps? And what does it actually enable and what's it doing for you?
Hey, well, thanks, Wyatt. That actually is probably the most exciting thing to me is from the program perspective. So our future state of operations really depends on our proficiency to rapidly and securely deliver resilient software capabilities. And those capabilities are specifically helping enable the way that we do service delivery and support our Marine quality of life. So for us, we're now in this position of deploying mission capabilities at the speed of relevance. And that's such a critical thing with that young Marine to be relevant and support them. As Ryan just kind of started to allude to, this control implementation and assessment, which is a part of that ATO process, we're doing that at scale now under 30 days, whereas that process takes much longer typically. And a key component as to support our business really is this cybersecurity is now provided as a service and a business enabler as opposed to a gatekeeper function. It's a dramatic reduction in the cost of delay compared to our legacy ATO process, even within our organization.
30 days would be a remarkable achievement for a lot of folks. So that is impressive. Just to follow up on that, can you talk a little bit about, so what are the key enablers for Agile ATO process? Where are you seeing the biggest enabling differences?
Yeah, so there's several areas. So I'll try to highlight the most important ones. One, the teams start to now organize themselves around value delivery of the capability as opposed to these kind of siloed functions where each function is waiting for the next function to pass its task to it. And it introduces a ton of waste and delay in the system. Those things look like very long queues or wait times between picking up and doing tasks. Very large batches of work that's done in a very inefficient way. So we've started to do some things that have enabled that are visualizing the work in progress. Then that allows us to swarm on the bottlenecks or in the workflow process to allow us to actually do that. We shift our technical and cyber resources left very early in the software development lifecycle process so that we are not bolting cybersecurity on at the end, but we're actually integrating the teams. So that comes back to that teams organizing around value delivery. Another pillar of the process has been a very highly integrated and high trust relationship with C4, which is our authorizing office that reviews all our packages, with our information system security managers, with our security control validators. All of those things has enhanced the level of quality for the ATO packages that we're submitting. And the results there is speed. which is so important. So like I mentioned, inside 30 days, that's step 1 to 5 in the RMF framework, or the in RMF. And we're doing this now routinely and at scale. In fact, our most recent package submittal in step 5 was submitted in within one business day. We had a signed letter from the authorizing official, which, you know, is a remarkable achievement, and it is reflective of the level of quality and trust with our AOs, with our AO.
That really is remarkable. Ryan, I'd be interested in your perspective as you work with different agencies as well. What lessons can other services take away from some of the things that Dave's been talking about?
If I had to distill the lessons learned, I'd say begin by really articulating the problem space well. If you begin the journey with the intention of enhancing cybersecurity and risk management as a bolt-on practice that occurs at the end of software lifecycle activities, you've really missed the forest for the trees. And ultimately, you'll only see marginal benefit to any process improvement initiative if you define the problem space that way. RMF is intended to integrate cybersecurity and risk management into the software development lifecycle from inception. It needs to be baked in, not bolted on. And so we want to shift cyber and risk management left. And remember that the objective is to field IT capability to the warfighter as efficiently as possible. And we're not doing process improvement for its own sake. Second, look at the various integration layers that actually need improvement. And we divide those into 4 unique domains: tooling, artifact creation, value stream layer, and metrics. Within each of those domains, focus on your end-to-end process improvement. Realize that local optimization of a sub-process rarely contributes to a significant increase in outcome and can even negatively impact overall performance. So keep your intention on enhancing the end-to-end outcome. At the value stream layer, you want to focus on improving the flow of work, reducing batch size, limiting work in progress, and creating that visual management system. Finally, at the metric level, you want to begin by understanding the impact of being blind to queues. So track your active work time versus wait time. And in most organizations, that wait time far exceeds actual work. So without this understanding and insight, there's a tendency to over-index on visible forms of waste, which are generally inefficient engineering activity or some process. But making activities more efficient is actually much less important than eliminating inactivity. So by framing the initiative with the cost of delay and the economic incentive that is there, you will get alignment from your stakeholders.
It's an interesting way of looking at that. And then lastly, gentlemen, what's next for Agile ATO? Is there more room to compress the DevSec ops cycle, if you will, and getting to ATOs even faster? Ryan, maybe I'll ask you that one first.
Yeah, I think we try to keep it at that 30-day mark as our benchmark. Now, as Dave mentioned earlier, we do have initiatives that are actually occurring faster than that, but that seems to be a good benchmark that we use as our metric. I think what's next for us is really about sharing this message across the DoD and getting it out, formatting in a way that's digestible for folks so they can start to realize these benefits within their own commands. And then we are working with AWS to create a marketplace offering for this as well, so we can get that to people a little bit quicker and more efficiently.
Yeah, I'd add, so similar, but from the program management side, I have interest in sharing these lessons specifically within the Marine Corps community and within the Navy, and helping understand at the various levels of Marine Corps, whether it's C4, MCOG, MAR4 Cyber, and other commands, these best practices. Literally, this is millions and millions of dollars in delay, cost avoidance from the cost of delay if we can implement some of these things. So really passionate about sharing that broadly. And internally, we still have a legacy cybersecurity team managing our on-prem capabilities, and we have already started to apply some of these lessons there. I don't believe that really getting very much tighter inside 30 days is necessary. The way that Ryan and I have looked at this as we've built this capability for MCCS, that now gets us at a place where cybersecurity and ATOs are no longer a blocker or a restriction on the ability to deliver capability. We now turn to focusing our effort on working with the teams, developing the product, deploying it, and all the regular things you would do, instead of focusing all the effort on cybersecurity and worrying about whether you got your ATO or not. So we basically removed this as an organizational obstacle for enabling the business.
Well, if we can do that for more applications, that would obviously speed up a lot of deployment and ultimately bring mission enablement to, you know, to the warfighters and those in the community at large much faster, I'm sure. Well, Dave Raley and Ryan Pratt, really appreciate your taking a few minutes to give us a fresh perspective on Agile ATOs and how it's helping, in this case, the Marine Corps Community Services and the U.S. Marine Corps at large just deploy their software more effectively. So thank you both for joining us.
Thank you so much for the time.
Thanks, Wyatt.